Is that okay? Hello?
It's fine. Yes, Kim.
Yes. Oh, yeah, if you're waiting for me, fine. It's fine. It's fine. Please,
James,
Chris,
did
you
Chris,
drop off?
Chris to the stack. Chris
James,
the stack.
Did you drop off?
I'm so sorry. I muted myself. I was talking. I was engaging the conversation. Didn't even realize I wasn't being heard. Yes, so I'm sorry. I was muted. So, yeah, that sounds right to me. Does anybody else have any comment?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead, Chris.
The second half of that is a little bit unclear. I think Kim's original phrasing where she said unbudgeted expense limit is a little bit more accurate. We don't want people going to the PMB every time they want to spend $5,000 or $10,000. So something more like the NFC recommends to the PMB that we update the April 2013 spending policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000.
Mm-hmm. I get the point.
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, my overall point with this is that, we're in sort of unknown territory now, regarding our finances. I mean, our finances are really on a day-to-day crisis mode, quite frankly. And, budgeted or unbudgeted, I mean, you know, even budgeted expenses are not like a real thing right now. I mean, even, you know, the original motion kind of says, well, if it's in your budget, you can spend it. And even that I have an issue with now, because people can put stuff in their budget, but, you know, we're on this really thin wire. And there may be a situation where we may ask a GM, hey, can you hold back on this payment for 2 weeks so we can cover this shortfall? You know, that's kind of where we're at right now. So this is a daily kind of crisis management.
Kim, may I ask you, that seems to be what Julia as a CFO is doing now with
right.
the stations, especially the ones that are having the most trouble.
Right.
And of course they're going away, so that might be a reason to put some of that in writing. But do you want to write that kind of crisis management into this? I thought we were just Kim. I thought we were just trying to up the limit from 5 to 10.
Yes.
Yes, that's all I'm doing, and I'm just supporting why I'm eliminating the rest of it.
Right.
You know, as for the other stuff in there, that really is PNB stuff. That's why I'm making the substitute motion.
Okay, so do we have, Arpal, we have your language.
I should probably read this at this point.
Yeah.
What I have is Kim's motion, substitute would be, the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the April 2013 spending policy, updating the expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000. And let me point out, this is a substitute. So the way this gets handled is we can debate the original main motion first, and when we are done with that, when we don't know there are no other amendments or anything on that, then we can go to amending or debating Kim's substitute. Okay. Although, if people just want to lump it all together, they'll do that. So there you go.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Mac. I was wondering myself. Maybe you're going to mention what I'm wondering. Go ahead.
Well, that's just a misstatement of Kim's original motion. Kim's motion, and I'm reading it, the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the following, that we update the April 2013 policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000. As Chris said, that's what she moved in writing, and we've somehow gone sideways and changed it. I would second a motion that read, the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the April 2013 policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000.
Right. Unfortunately, here in committee, we don't use seconds, but budgeting, I'm getting your point.
I'm just trying to get it done, brother.
I hear you.
So updating, it would be updating the unbudgeted expense limit. Kim, is that what you want in there?
I believe that's what my language says.
Okay.
Yes.
I put it in, yeah.
I actually sent the text around to everybody, including our Paul, like 10 minutes ago. So
thanks, Chris.
You should have it by now.
And our Paul, I have a question about the way you presented the order. Since this is a substitute, do we not debate and vote on the substitute first, or did you mention going to the main motion or the original motion first?
Yeah, it's the opposite way. You have a main motion that's on the floor. An amendment has been made, which is in fact a substitute. Since it's a substitute, what happens is you debate and amend or whatever the main motion, the original main motion. When you're done on that, and that's it, and it's set, then you can go and debate or whatever the substitute motion, and do whatever you want to do with that, and then you vote on the substitute first, and then see what happens from there.
Okay, you're opening this up. I thought we had pretty much already debated the main motion, but if that's where we need to go, that's okay.
Point of order.
But
point of order.
Before you make your point of order, Chris, I want to say that we are now past the time where we were supposed to go to executive session. So I'm wondering if we want to extend to finish this.
So moved.
Move to extend
please.
To 10.
Yes.
So moved.
Okay, so there's a motion to extend for 10, was it?
Yes.
Is there any objection?
That's Chris.
We'll go.
That's Chris,
yes.
Moving.
Yes. Yes.
So we'll go to 9:59 on this. I have 9:49. I hope that.
I have 9:48. What the hell?
Okay.
Close enough.
We're using loose numbers here, obviously. So there was.
I had
objection.
A point of order, James.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My understanding is just the opposite of what R. Paul said, that, if there's a substitute motion offered that it's voted on first, and then it supersedes the original motion, and the original motion is never even comes to the floor. The amended, or am I getting amendments and substitutes reversed?
I think
a substitute
is a
form of
amendment.
Yeah. Is it really? Is it really, or is it an alternate to the original motion? I mean,
well,
I.
The way. All right. If you want, I have Roberts here, and I can thumb through it and read it aloud to everybody.
It's okay. If you're sure, R. Paul, and it sounds like you are, that's fine.
Yeah.
I seem to be having a different recollection from all of the.
In terms of voting, we do vote on the alternate first. But in terms of debating, the main motion needs to have a chance.
My apologies. Okay, got it. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, R. Paul. Yeah,
okay,
I understand.
So now,
I thought you meant voting, not debate. My apologies.
Yeah, I had the same confusion, Chris. So now that we've got that straightened out, because we are going to run out of time shortly, do we want to go now and debate the main motion? And I'll ask, is there any discussion on the main motion?
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
I still support the main motion. I find the substitute motion entirely inadequate for a couple of reasons. I think if it had been effective in the first place, we would have known where to find it because we would have been using it all along. It took 2.5 years to scare this thing up. And the motion is an attempt to double the leeway that staff has without addressing the inadequacy of the oversight and interaction. And I think that's a problem. I think there's a reason that finances and accountability get so far off of what I've experienced in any other board when this is what we've been supposed to be using this whole time. So I still prefer the original motion. Some have expressed concern about the emergency management clause in there. I'm not wedded to that. That can be addressed elsewhere if that's an obstacle for people. I would be glad to move to delete that. But the substitute motion isn't anything I can vote on. Anything I can vote for. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? I have a question myself for Beth. Beth, you said that you thought if the if the problems that you're trying to remedy didn't exist with the original 2013 policy, that we would have been using it. But it seems to me that that's part of a bigger problem at Pacifica, which is we have a lot of turnover in our boards, and new people come on and they don't remember what the old policies were, and we don't have any central place, I guess, where we can go and find updated policies in an easily accessible manner that, you know, in a usable form. So I'm just wondering, can you differentiate what you were saying about what the issue was with the motion from that more general problem that we seem to have with all policies?
I freely acknowledge that greater problem also, but this was a policy I asked for within 3 months of coming on to the local LSB. Every board I've ever been on had a spending limit. Every board, without exception. And no one, not Kim, not anyone else who was then treasurer or chair of our local finance committee, if I remember right, no one could point me to that policy. Everybody assured me we had one somewhere, but no one. So it clearly hadn't been. No, if you can't find it, you can't invoke it. And if you're not invoking it, if you're not using that, if you're not holding staff accountable, I mean, that's the kind of thing, I don't know, it's like losing your knife and fork for supper. It's like you should be using it so often, it's right at hand, always. I first brought it up because the local general manager had announced with celebration that we had received a $120,000 Google Ad grant and to be spent on Google Ads, of course, in kind, while still saying on air that we didn't take corporate money. And that's when I asked, okay, where's the policy? What's the policy on that? So we need to invoke this somehow. And I think it's the whole issue has been neglected across the board to the extent that no one even knew what the policy was really, or or where to find it to invoke it. And so, yeah, I think a standard basic policy like this is hard to lose in the shuffle. There still are people on the board. There are a lot of new people, but there are also people who go back decades who have their own deep files. And when they want to find things, they can find things. I'll sit down now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Did I hear someone asking for the? I thought I heard someone asking before, Kim.
Yes, it was me, Mac.
Go ahead, Mac, and then Kim.
All that Beth has said is true, but it's not to the point of the motion. The fact of throwing in more minutiae to a policy that nobody seems to be that she may be correct, nobody's following, doesn't solve any problem. The actual increase in the limit will solve a substantive immediate problem in that everything costs at least twice as much as it did in 2013. I think that if you want to make a motion in some other context that people follow the policy, that's great. But this is just about what's the limit. I'm done.
Kim.
The problem with the finances, especially at KPFK over the last number of years, had nothing to do with whether people knew about this policy or not. It's basically common sense. It had to do, and I can name names, but I will not. All it takes is people reading and looking to see what's going on. It's a lack of oversight, not a lack of policy. So having something in writing, either of these, you know, is not going to help people do oversight if they're predisposed to not doing it. I don't know what this this Google ad grant, I mean, I've heard about this for years, never seen any documentation of it, that it existed more than just a passing comment. So it's irrelevant to this motion or even this issue. I mean, if you want me to go over line by line over the original motion again, I'd rather not. But none of my repeated issues having to do with the original issue have been solved, and this little motion just solves the problem it purported to want to solve, and we can move on. We really have other things much more urgent to do than this. So that's it. Thank you.
R. Paul for stat.
Okay, R. Paul, I just want to point out we are at time certain. I'm going to let you speak, but then I'm hoping we can move ahead. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Yes, the policy was in place, and I remembered it. I did, in fact, said, hey, when somebody went outrageously over the $5,000 limit, I did bring this up, and nobody paid any attention to it. So I agree with the substitute. The thing is, people have to pay attention to it. And when somebody says, hey, there's an X amount of limit, and somebody's just gone over the limit by a factor of 10, somebody should pay attention to that. So I support the substitute motion.
Okay, we have a few seconds left. Anybody else want to speak? Hearing none, let's go to the, now we are out of time. Let's go to the vote. R. Paul, can you take the vote, please? On the substitute first.
Okay, the substitute motion is the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the April 2013 spending policy, updating the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay. Can you take the roll?
Oh, well, okay, you're going to just, okay.
Oh, yes, we're going to ask if there's, I'll ask if there's any objection. Is there any objection?
I object.
Okay, so now our ball.
James, one minor point. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chris.
I think the original language said increasing the limit, but I'm not going to quibble about it if we're already at the middle, ready to vote on this.
Okay, Mr. Chair, what am I doing here?
Well, do you want to just see if Chris is correct?
Go back to this from Kim. Increasing, okay. Ask if anybody objects. I'm going to put that in, and we'll read it, and we'll see if anybody. And I noted that it had budgeted in there twice, so. So here's the motion. The NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the April 2013 spending policy, update increasing. Wrong word. Okay, one second. I have to go back to things.
This is a working session,
the NFC,
folks. It's okay.
The NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the April 2013 spending policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000. Okay? Okay, we all agree that that now is...
good for it. It's good with me. I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. Please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Julie Hewitt? Chris Kaufman.
Do you mean Kim Kaufman?
God, Kim Kaufman, yes.
Yes.
Julia Kennard.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
Yes.
James Sagerton. Okay, I'll come back. Susan Young.
Yes.
Okay, going back to the people who didn't answer up. Nick Arena. Nick Arena.
There was an email saying he had to leave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nick's gone.
Okay. Julie Hewitt?
Abstain.
Abstain. James Sagerton? Unmute if you're on mute. James Sagerton? Is he muted or did his electricity go out?
R. Paul, he dropped off. He dropped off.
Dropped off, so he's gone. All right. So the total is 6-4, one against, two abstentions. And what we have to do now, one second. Now what we have to do is it becomes the main motion. It becomes the main motion. And so what we have to do is vote on it again. And to make sure that we pass it, since it's the main motion. And Chris, are you now chairing, I guess?
Yes, unless someone, yeah, exactly, unless someone objects to that.
Okay, yeah, ask if there's objection to it as the main motion.
Is there any objection to placing this as the main motion?
We have already done.
Chris, I'm back.
Oh, he's back.
Okay, he's back.
What I
no
thought
problem.
Was going to happen did. May I ask, is it too late for me to vote on the substitute or wherever we were?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe it is. We've already moved on. But it has become the main motion, so you'll get a second stab at it, Jim.
That's okay. I was intending to abstain anyway. Okay.
Okay, so So you have the chair now. So it is the main motion now. So you get to ask if it passes.
Okay. I get to ask if there's any objection. Is that where we are?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is there any objection?
I object.
Okay.
I know what the vote is.
Okay, there's an objection. Arpal, can you take the roll once more? Or take the vote, please?
If I can get my fingers to work, they keep typing the wrong thing. 1 second, please. Success. Okay. It is, I don't think I need to reread it again. It's
no.
The same thing we just passed as the main motion. Nick Arena. Chris Corey?
Yes, sorry.
Okay. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Julie Hewitt?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Julia Kennard?
Thanks.
Julia Kennard?
Abstain.
Oh, really? I'm not hearing that at all. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Abstain.
Susan Young?
Yes.
Okay, that's 7-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions. So that passes.
Very good. So we are done with that item, and we are now past time to go to executive session. So, Fred, can you take us off the stream and move us to executive?
Jim.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think we need to spend at least 5 minutes talking about upcoming budgets and setting extra meetings.
Oh, yes, you did want to do that. Well, we're not there yet. We are actually at number 9.
What?
This is Beth with
Go ahead, Beth.
Point of order. I think there's an item yet on the agenda about the non-disclosure agreement,
right,
which has to do with access to the closed session, and I think we're going to have to deal with that.
Okay. All right, so we're going to have a motion to extend.
So moved. How much time
do we need? Well, how much?
Wait, hold on. What?
10.
Wait, we're in... Where in this agenda does it say a time when we're going to... Oh, it says executive session 9:45.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, we extended past that.
So we didn't get through 3 items on the agenda. But
correct.
It's a time certain. Oh, boy. Correct. Yeah, that's probably... a little flexibility would have been better, but okay. All right. So where we are now is we're supposed to be going to the... executive session, but somebody wants to do what?
Wants to extend time before doing so, and I guess that would take a 2/3 vote, or, if there was no objection.
Yeah. 2/3 vote, yeah. Okay, 1 second. Somebody wants to extend time in the open session, right?
Right.
Beth moves to extend for 10 minutes to deal with the non-disclosure agreement because it determines who has access to the closed session.
Okay, and Beth, do you want to extend the meeting as well? Because if we go 10, that's beyond the time of the meeting.
Why not?
Yeah.
You only go around once.
And, while you're at it, then maybe you don't want to mix this up, but if we're going to get to that closed session, we're going to need extra time then as well.
Okay.
I think if you move to extend the meeting by 15 right now, that would work.
So moved.
So now we're voting on a 10-minute extension of the open meeting and a 15-minute extension of the entire meeting.
Oh, is that okay? Hold on. So it's to extend the time for this item in the open session, in the open session, for 10 minutes and extend the meeting, including executive session.
I don't know if 15 is going to be adequate, so maybe we should make that.
Okay,
more.
To extend the time for this item in the open session for 10 minutes and extend the meeting, including the executive session, for 15 minutes. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to – I don't know if we can change this now or we have to then pass it and then amend it, but I think we should make the overall extension 20 minutes to give us 10 minutes in the closed session.
Ask if anybody objects to that.
Touch on that matter. Does anybody object?
20 minutes. Okay. Now see if anybody objects to the whole thing.
Anybody object to the whole thing? Very good. Thank you all. So that brings us back to number 9, the non-disclosure agreements. So I'll just introduce this item. We had some issues with the non-disclosure agreements. We had two people on this committee who objected to it, who were treasurers. As far as I can tell, there were no objections from the PNB, but perhaps there should have been, because there were some gaps in the disclosures as written. And so now we find ourselves in a dilemma here where we haven't received them yet. From Arpal, have you received any from anyone yet?
Any
non-disclosure forms from anyone?
They're not supposed to go to me.
Members.
It says you're supposed to mail them someplace.
Yeah, nobody knows where to send these. Mac on the stack, by the way.
And then
nobody
Kim
knows
on the stack.
Send them.
Yeah, that was one of the issues. Go ahead, Kim. Mac, are you done?
Well, I can let Max speak first.
I just wanted to make sure he was done. Go ahead, Max.
I that was the extent of my of that comment. Nobody knows where to send them. Whether we send them as revised in some way, nobody knows where to send them. Who gets them?
Got it. Or how to send them, right?
This is Kim.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It specifically says you have to send them by certified or registered mail, which I did, to the ED and KPFK. And you might want to say, Jim, that you sent my complaints to Arthur, and he approved the majority of them. And so I revised mine according to what Arthur approved and signed it and went to the post office and... According to them, it should have been delivered there today. I don't know if anybody's there to accept it. I don't know. I asked that it, I mean, I guess I wasn't specific to Arthur, but I said there, it specifically doesn't say email, and either he didn't notice that or didn't want to change it. But as I've said, I'm sort of a beaten down old obedient dog. If it says go to the post office and send it registered or certified, that's what I'm going to do. So I've complied with my part of it.
So I want to defer for a moment here to I'm going to ask Julie if she would like to speak on this, because I don't know what the policy should be. Julie, is it in the past we have just gone into executive session at the NFC without non-disclosure agreements? We've done it quite recently. But now the policy on the PNB is you don't get into executive sessions anymore unless you've signed the policy or in the case, I won't even go further into it than that, so as not to reveal anything. But since the NFC is obviously a committee of the PNB, I would assume that we should be adopting that policy. Any comments on that, Julie? And, what about this?
Point of information.
let's do the point of information. Go ahead.
Isn't it the case that we signed also consent to use electronic transmission? So we sent a form for that, and then you could use, you can just email the NDA, you know, a photocopy of it.
I was wondering.
Question. I thought that was the reason we sent to use electronic transmission, was so that we could send an electronic copy of our NDA. We don't have to send it certified mail.
All right, Kim was curious on the stack. Let her answer that.
That was for, no, the NDA specifically said how it should be sent.
Electronic transmission
is a different policy, but I specifically in the NDA, it does not say email. It says certified mail or hand delivery or courier. So
James Sagerton, may I?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate people's interest in reading things carefully. We are literally like cutting our wrists here. So what James McFadden is mentioning, Tim, is something for the PMB, which is that we, at the same time that we had people sign the NDA, we had them sign a consent for electronic communications. So you're arguing back to James McFadden that he's wrong because you read it literally to say certified mail isn't really shedding light on the issue here. When the PMB did these forms, we did both at the same time, and no one signed one without signing the other. So, you know, should we have done that here too? Okay, probably. But the spirit of this is, and let us not let perfection be the enemy of the good. The idea of the non-disclosure agreement is that you sign a thing that says you agree not to disclose confidential information outside of executive session meetings, things that are discussed in executive session. It is a contract that is executed between you and, I would argue in this instance, the NFC chair, right? Because it's NFC meetings, so I don't think it was appropriate to send it to the KPFK LSB chair or the GM at KPFK or the ED at Pacifica. All I did was I sent the NDA that we use for the PMB to the NFC. I didn't reread it to make sure that it was literally every effing period and every, you know, thing correct. I deeply apologize for that. Can we just sign this and understand that it's an agreement that says that you won't disclose confidential information? That, at the root of it, is what it's about. Now, could it be improved? Of course it could be improved, you know, and I appreciate people sending that. I have to say, I haven't had a chance to look at those emails carefully. You know, I mean, I'd like to make all the improvements, and if Arthur said you could make improvements, then make the improvements to the version that you signed. I mean, we discussed this last meeting of the NFC, that if you really felt strongly about typos and whatnot, that you should just fix them and then make that be the version that you sign. It has to be countersigned by someone else to be in agreement. It's a contract, right? And you know, if the person who countersigns thinks that you went too far in making corrections, then they will let you know, and that will be a debate back and forth between you and that person. And I would argue in this particular instance that really it's the NFC chair who countersigns that with that contract, although, you know, mm-hmm. I have to make sure that that's not some sort of violation of the bylaws. Technically speaking, I think it should be the case that everybody you know, I don't see how we can give the NFC folks a waiver on signing the NDA now that we at the PNB have said you have to sign the NDA to be part of executive session. So I'm done. Okay. I've been done, probably.
Thank you, Julie. Mac, I heard you. I just want to add a bit of information for Julie's sake before I recognize you. And, Julie, that is that we did send both forms. We sent the NDA and the consent to use electronic transmission. We did both here as well.
Thank you.
Mac?
All of the umbrage notwithstanding, can somebody just tell us where we're supposed to send them?
Yes. Now that Julie has clarified who should be countersigning them, why don't we say, I don't know, we got some choices here. Julie, it could be the CFO. It could be me. I'd be glad to have it be me. It could be the secretary of the committee. But if you, I think you said the chair, I'm glad to do that.
If I may, I would argue that the first step is one person collects them, and you know, we, and so I would argue make that be James Sagerton, and then but we'll work out whether it's you know, James is the NFC chair or Julie is the CFO or maybe even R. Paul is the NFC secretary who does the countersigning.
Fair enough. Okay, so everybody can send them to me.
Kim to the stack.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, well, two things here. One, Julie, for our sakes, can you please put what you said in writing, send it to the MFC, and so we can attach it to our agreements that we're doing this, you know, emailing it to whoever for your decision, number one. Number two, what should we do about tonight? I mean, I thought I was okay since Arthur okayed my issues, and I did what is told. He did not address the email issue. I asked him about it, and he didn't address it. So I did what was in the document.
Back to the staff.
And what should we do tonight? I mean, I can print it out and sign it with him and scan it in the next 5-10 minutes and send it to you, but I'd like a waiver in writing.
I think we could do tonight. I hear you, Beth. I'll recognize you in one moment.
Thank you.
I think I can safely say this. At the PNB, we had a person who hadn't signed, and we asked that person to, if they would abide by the agreement having read it and honor it, and then that person was allowed to participate. So I think if we did that tonight, ask everybody to abide by the agreement. You've all had it for some time. You've all read it. So if everybody would be willing to agree to abide by it, we can have the relatively minor conversation we're going to have in closed session quickly, and if everybody agrees to keep it confidential, we can move on in that manner. Is that satisfactory to you, Julie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The key is your intent to abide by the agreement.
Yes. Okay with you, Kim?
Absolutely. I 100% agree to that. I mean, no problem.
And then who else did I hear? Was it Beth?
Well, there's me.
Oh, our call
at some point.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't hear you ask for it yet.
No, I didn't, but you're asking
people to agree to something
right here.
You're right, and I also, now I'm going back to the stack. I think I heard Beth asking for the stack. Did I, Beth?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Then we'll go to our Paul.
Thank you. If I'm not mistaken, we on the PNB
signed ours electronically. I signed mine on the iPhone. The documents were sent to us, emailed to us, and then we signed them electronically and emailed them back. Correct me if my memory doesn't serve. Julie, isn't that what we did? I mean, but I learned how to do that for that process. Right?
Julie?
Okay, so Beth was cutting in and out for me, but I think the point is there's no one size fits all in terms of how people did it. Some people did wet signatures, you know, printed it, scanned it, did wet, you know, with a wet signature.
That's what I did. Yeah.
You know, it scanned it and emailed it back, right? And some people did what Beth did, and you know, it's like everybody did it a little bit differently. So, you know. And the point is, this is not a gotcha exercise in that if you don't take the right pathway, it's really, do you agree to abide by it? And we need you to attest to that in writing, in effect, so that, you know, should you fail to abide by it, you know, it would be an agreement that it's got some teeth to it and, you know, we would do whatever. But, you know, of course, that's not going to happen. So we're not going to worry about that.
Oh.
Got it. Okay. So
I was on Stack, wasn't I?
Yes, Arpal. Thank you for reminding me. Go ahead.
We're not going to do that. No. No. Yeah, this is, first of all, I have written up, and it's, I suppose, sort of ready to go, the consent to electronic communications. That's okay. Ironically, it wants to be sent by mail, and I think that's laughable. The other part is, I have some objections. I've posted them to the mailing list. I will point out, I have already signed a non-disclosure agreement with Pacific. In fact, I've signed two of them. And so nobody said that doesn't exist anymore. So it's not as if I never signed one. I just haven't signed the current version of this one. And I will probably have to amend it because Kim had some ideas. And I think between Kim's idea and my idea, I can sign something. But, yeah, I already have an NDA. So it's not as if I'm, you know, saying I refuse to not disclose confidential stuff because I've been spending 18 years of Pacifica, actually more than that. I was a shop steward and didn't give out confidential stuff when the budget was confidential. So whatever. I haven't signed a thing and I can't get it in there now. I certainly can't mail it. So I already have done a non-disclosure, so people decide whether I get to go to the executive session tonight or not. It's up to other people.
Well, I think we already decided to, I don't think we voted on it, but I think we're going to use the methods that we've used traditionally, which is just go to executive session and have everybody agree that they will keep confidence. we've done that traditionally. We did it, you know, within the past couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So I don't think there's an issue going forward with that tonight. But for future purposes, if everybody, if they need to line out and or make small additions to the documents as they exist, per Arthur, that's, it's okay to do that as long as we have the main idea that you understand that these conversations are confidential, that the material is confidential, and that you won't disclose it outside of a closed session. So, having done that, I think we can move on now to number 10.
Kim to the Stack.
Go ahead, Kim.
Can we just set an extra meeting for next week and already? And we can deal with the week after that or something next week and deal with these budgets and, you know, maybe you can tell us right now in 2 minutes if you can get anything in for next week in terms of budgets.
Okay. we possibly can. And I thought you were still wanting to speak on number 9. I didn't, hadn't quite gotten to number 10, but it's okay. So we're now on number 10. It's okay. So I think the in fact, as you noted in the chair's announcements, we were expecting to finally deal with the KPFA budget tonight, but that didn't happen. So we were planning to do that at the next meeting. I will see if we can get a meeting in. Well, let's have the group decide on that. But I just want to remind everybody, we are already meeting at twice the number of meetings that normally committees meet for. And, you know, I'm okay with that. We're getting things done. We're grinding through it. And I agree that we may need to accelerate the meeting schedule. Perhaps we should start doing that. Maybe we should discuss and start to do that at the next meeting, not try to set a meeting for next week tonight, but that's what the conversation is for. So let's see what others may have to say about that. Any other discussion?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
How many FY23 budgets are there? I mean, I don't think there are any draft FY23 budgets is my point there, so.
I think PFW is working on one. WBAI is, we haven't done anything in the committee yet with that.
Yeah.
If
some management is working on one, that's nice, but they don't just drag it right into the NFC unless we decide that we're going to bypass the local station boards and their finance committees. It's got to
have and the PRI, PRA.
The what?
We have the archives and the affiliates also.
Yes, yes, all of these. Okay, so we have those two. I don't know if they have theirs already. But,
I know that the affiliates are working on this. I don't know about the archives.
All right. So it sounds like we don't have some, and we should, you know, tell people, ring a bell. It's time to get your budget going and then start this wild process.
Yes.
Kim did a stack.
That was the purpose of bringing this up. Was that Kim?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We don't have a lot of time between now and September 30th. I mean, back in the day, we used to meet at least once a week so we could get budgets approved before September 30th. So, and we met more than even once a week as it gets towards the end of September. We have a lot to do. Number one and number two, I think you can probably nudge PRA and the affiliates. It would be nice to have KPFA's budget to look at, but there's no reason why we need to look at it and approve it at this point. I mean, I don't see any point to that. Ask Maria when we're going to get 23. That's more my concern.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Kim, and that's why I put in number 10 for the first time, I put FY23. And I think, KPFA is usually the first one out with a budget. And so I think they can do that. I agree that we don't, there is not necessarily any real reason to do that. Although they did commit to doing it tonight, and I was hoping we would do it, and that evaporated. I don't have myself personally, I don't have any problem with meeting once a week, or if necessary, as we get closer to the date. More than that, I know that others may not agree 100% with that, but it sounds like for now, maybe we should just sound the alarm, let everybody know that we're calling for their budgets, which I've already been doing, privately with people. And then perhaps meet in our regular schedule 2 weeks from now and then see, see where we are.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is a question for Julie. You guys have a LSB meeting this week. Any chance your budget will come up on the LSB meeting?
The budget won't come up till the September LSB meeting. So that will be, I'm looking at a calendar, that will be the 14th of September, so we'll have, you know, a solid 2 weeks there that we could, you know, the NFC could, well, approve the PFW budget, or at least discuss it, you know, since we have a habit of not approving budgets, you know, the evening that we discuss them.
Let me add that as far as the KPFA budget goes, we have also, there's a consensus evolving that there's no point in trying to struggle with a KPFK budget when their situation is still sort of out of control. And the national office, with three stations not paying central services, it's very difficult to budget for that. So the consensus is growing that we just skip over those for this year.
Yes,
and not
please.
Not go through a futile exercise. So yeah, that, and that's what we end up doing with KPFA. That's okay too. And we all know that. I think it's known the status of the. Well, I won't mention it. There's a personnel question there, but I will all skip. Go ahead, Kim.
Kim, if you want to know anything, look at the P&Ls. You know, that's where you know. That's where we'll find out. Our information is the P&Ls that we have now.
Let me ask Julia. You know, I know there's a lot of things that many are rushing to try and get done while we still have the services of Meta. How is your stamina? Are you, you know, I know you, you know, well, I guess we'll have to discuss whether we can extend the services of Netta at some point if we're paid up. But right now, I don't see any motion in that direction. How do you feel about us trying to rush to, so to speak, get where we're going here? Are you up to that?
Well, I think every unit is different. You know, I think there are a couple of them that we could probably, there's a few of them we could probably get through. Talking about WPFW, I know that they've done a deep dive on their expenses, but they haven't finished the revenue piece. And that's, I know there's another meeting tomorrow, but do I feel that one could be done before September? Yes, but they might need to, I can't remember when Julie said their meeting is, but they might need to be scheduling an extra meeting for theirs if it's going to take two meetings to get it approved, which is fine. But I think going ahead and having these local boards, you know, schedule their extra meetings now so people know what's up, so that goal of, you know, having everything approved before 9:30 is not killed by the fact that meetings aren't, you know, there aren't adequate meetings to actually push them through. KPFA, I think, you know, an issue with how the revenue accruals are being done needs to be addressed. You can't go off of, or at least last year, we, you know, there was a pretty significant adjustment, if I recall correctly, because of how the accruals are done for their revenue. So that's something that we need to look at more in depth, and I'll talk to Maria about that. But, you know, there is a lot to do between now and then, and I think I could commit to checking some of those off the list. But, for example, this week, the business manager at the affiliates is on vacation, so I'm not even able to reach out and see where she is in her process and what her schedule is. So, I mean, I don't mind sending out an email to everybody and getting confirmation of what their time frame is now, so we can let them know if they need to adjust, you know, like I said, and add meetings, et cetera.
Well, you know, I don't think we need to predict how it's all going to turn out. I think the idea that we should get moving as quick as possible to not only just to do, get it done in a timely manner, but also to take advantage of what services of NETA we have, as long as we have them. So,
if we don't set a deadline and let these committees know that they've got to have adequate meeting schedules to make it happen, guarantee that they're all going to happen.
Good point. So I guess what we need to do is send notices to the PMBs. We don't have to worry about PRA and the affiliates, but yeah, or the national office for that matter. But yeah, so we can get notices out to the chairs of the LSBs and to the finance and through the treasurers. We have the treasurers here. We can have them bring that back to their finance committees. Of course, everybody doesn't have a finance committee, but, you know, yeah, we'll communicate.
All but one, and that one will take care of it this week.
There you go. Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Chris, I said all but one have finance committee. I'll handle KPFA.
He'll take
Kim
care of that. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. I think the consensus is nobody wants to set a meeting for next week just in case we get something. So why don't we just adjourn and, go to closed session 45 minutes late.
I would certainly agree with that. Okay. Do we need, I think we need to extend time.
No.
No, to extend the time of the meeting. We're past the time that we extended the meeting to. So can we get a motion now to extend the time of the meeting for another 10 minutes so we can quickly handle this matter in executive session? Or any objection?
Will 10 minutes do it, James?
I think so.
Okay.
If not, we can extend when we're there.
Okay.
Okay, hearing no objection, we're extended for 10 more minutes. And Fred, you can take us off the stream. Nobody needs to go anywhere unless somebody needs a break.
No.
Okay. Let's just go and get it over with. Let us know when we're off the stream, Fred. Let me publicly thank Julia and Arpal.